Which leads us to our message today. I've been praying and asking God this week, what can I share with you guys? And I believe perseverance. And the reason I want to share on perseverance, because it is the one character trait of success in this life. I don't care what endeavor you are in. In fact, in the world of pastoring and in the world of churches that are successful and that go for a length of time and that are impactful, not necessarily huge in size, but are impactful in their call, there's one common denominator in all those churches. And that common denominator is this: a long-term pastor. Someone that is weathered. In fact, they say in pastoring, you don't even find what's really your call and really what you're doing until you're in year 7. And then you begin to settle into what it is that God's called you. Those first 6 years are a lot about your ministering, but a lot of the ministry is done in you. And so God is preparing for the long haul. And stay in the journey, you have to learn a lot of things. And James tells us what that is, and it's all about faith. And James says this: faith or perseverance must finish its work. So finishing has to do with perseverance. In fact, the definition of perseverance is this: to persist in or remain constant to a purpose, idea, or task in the face of obstacles or discouragement. So perseverance is not about giant leaps. In fact, the enemy of perseverance is the shortcut, is the easy way, the absolute enemy of perseverance. And I've told you guys before what the shortcuts do. 1, never short. 2, they always cut. Perseverance is not a long race. It is many short races, one after another. And we'd like to talk about here, those short races are living one day at a time, doing what we need to do today. Those incremental steps is how one learns to persevere. Perseverance requires faith. And faith always has a goal in mind. You know, if you don't have a goal in mind, it doesn't matter where you go, what direction you head in, whatever you're doing. If you have a goal, that is where you have to persevere until you achieve it. So I'm going to be hitting some points today about that, and we'll probably continue it on because it's such a key thing to our walk with God. And there's learning all along the way. To persevere well, you have to be extremely teachable. How many have been their own teacher? That's okay to a degree, but at some point, you will max out on your ability. And if you're the doctor and patient in your life, you have a horrible doctor and an unwilling patient. You have problems. This week, I spoke for the first time at another church about our story. I titled that message, Faith Has to Be Tough, because there are horrible times. And I, with you guys, you know, many of you know our story, Teresa, my story, and our family's journey in faith. But these people didn't. The pastor knew. So there was apprehension in sharing that because there's a sense of vulnerability. You know, they can have all kinds of different thoughts. That's why we're all hesitant to just throw out our story. But it needs to come out. And part of your story and in part of the devastating parts of your story, God wants to use to help others. And I shared with them that when God wants to reach certain groups of people, He has to give us similarities to those people, which is the door opener to their heart and their ears. Because when they see that we go through similar things like them, and yet we handle them differently, that becomes attractive to them. And by handle them differently, I mean to handle them well. And I told people, the root of persevering, the root of walking in faith, is simply this: carrying your cross and following Jesus. That's the root of it. Doesn't mean we carry it lightly. Doesn't mean, and a lot of times the cross isn't what we want to bear. In fact, over time, we'll have to bear different crosses that we never even thought we'd ever bear before. Not only the crosses we have, but other crosses as life journey goes on. And to try to give us some commonality, I shared with them, looking around the room like I'm right now looking at you, statistically, 2 out of every 4 of you girls have been molested or raped. Many of them incest. That's just statistics. So looking around here, that's a cross to bear. You guys, 1 out of every 4, statistically, has been molested. That's a cross you bear. If that cross isn't processed, isn't worked through, the wound is still bleeding. And that wound will bleed on the relationships around us. Statistically, 1 out of every 2 marriages in this room has ended in divorce. Some of them multiple times. Those are wounds. If we don't deal and process those wounds, we will carry that into the next relationship. Or we may push away from a relationship and never want to deal with another person in that arena because of the wounds. There are things we have to bear in life. Yesterday, I shared the story, and I believe God used it to touch lives, and there was a gentleman in there who had lost his kid and just can't get sober, and so was able to minister to him. And hopefully some change will take place. Because you also learn along the journey that even though you have a cross to bear and even though you didn't want to bear that cross, there's still life. And if you process through it, you can still function. But it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you, because they do. And they will. Yesterday I had the honor of, I have 7 brothers and sisters. There's 8 of us. And all of us have kids. And now they're all getting married, and grandkids are starting to get married, and you know, and I'm the pastor, so I'm marrying everybody, and you know, so it was awesome. Love my niece and her new husband. Great people. Did spend a lot of time with them, but we're the only ones that lost kids. So all the families are gathering in the photo booths and all that, and it's like, wow, you know. Yeah, my surviving daughter was there with her baby and husband, and that's cool, way cool, beautiful. But we look around, and that's a cross to bear. And it's not the only one, because they're all in the wine and alcohol line, and I'm in the seltzer line, and not very many in that line, so I got right to the front, and it's all good. Schweppes, nice. Thank you. So, of course, I'm not inebriated, so I'm not dancing anymore. and there were outhouses there, so I'm glad I'm not doing blow. And so, you know, there are the perks, but there's also the crosses to bear and all that. And then my wife's in line, and this couple behind her, one of the younger people's, oh, you're Therese Fury? Oh, yeah. I went to school with Sarah. It was so great. How is she? And of course, my wife breaks down and says she's passed unto heaven. And they both had a moment. And that's just part of the gig, you know. And I'm not minimizing it. I'm not maximizing it. I'm just saying it is what it is. And, you know, I know some of us may hate those terms, but it is what it is. And so we have to navigate that. And it's not always easy, but perseverance is always chock full of obstacles. Perseverance always has hurdles that have to be dealt with, or else we peel off. We go sideways. We check out. Perseverance isn't for the great starters. Lots of us have noble starts. In fact, how many great starters do we have in here? I'm out of the box in a heartbeat, leading the pack for about six steps. And then, oh, hamstring. First obstacle. A little bit of discomfort. A little bit of trouble. Got to take a break. Got to move on. Perseverance is where we do what we need to do to keep going. It is the key to success in any area of life. Dealing with what we have to deal with. And this is the beauty. You only have to deal with it one day at a time. You only have to do the do today. I've talked to many people. Joe, I don't know what to do with my life. And I tell them, well, what are you supposed to do today? What are you doing today? You know, one of the things I've learned over my journey with God is that all growth is incremental. It's incremental. It's a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. A stall, a little here, a little there. How many people knew how to parent? Because you weren't going to parent like your parents were going to parent. Then you have kids and it's a whole new world. It's a whole new world. Like Jason said earlier, he didn't even know what a boundary was. A what? The boundary. They're walls that keep us safe. The beautiful thing is there's walls with doors. We can enter in and enter out, and we can allow in and send out. They're meant to protect us and to protect others. That's why everybody lives in houses with doors and windows. Could you imagine living in a house with no doors and windows? Wouldn't be safe. Wouldn't be safe, would be a horrible boundary. Yet some of us live that way. And in James 1:4, when it says this, if we can get that back up there, it says some cool things, if we'll get. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. You know what kind of mature that's talking about? It's talking about relational maturity. God wants us relationally mature. If you fly off the handle all the time in relationships, if everyone around you is a jerk and stuff, you are not relationally mature. If you think the only way you can deal with certain types of people is that you have to run away or beat them up, then if I just found a place where there's no jerks, we'd be okay. Has anybody ever found that place? No. So what is if a relationally mature person learns to deal with them? Not everybody's, you know, I'll respect them if they respect me. I always tell them why. Why can't you just respect them, period? Well, who cares what they think about you? You can still honor them as a salient human being. Doesn't mean you got to be buddy-buddy with them. But they're just people. How can you say this is the woman you want to do life with and you treat her horribly? That's relationally immature. God's called us. And how do you become relationally mature? You've got to go through stuff. Then you've got to learn how to handle things. Running away works in some situations. But if that is my main methodology in problem-solving people things, I'm in trouble. I am in deep trouble. And if I don't deal with the wounds that cause me to look at life the way I look at it, in unhealthy ways, that's a problem. That requires perseverance. Why? So that I can be complete. I can be holistic. That means whole in the areas I deal with life. All of us default to the areas that we're strong in. I'm horrible in this kind of stuff, but I'm a great worker. What's that person do all the time? Work! Because that's where they flow. So if I don't learn skills in how to handle relationships with, how many of us handle the relationship with ourselves poorly? One of the boys has got some medical issues, just a little issue. And we've taken them to Western Medical, you know, help. And the other day, my wife took them to this naturopath, a holistic practitioner, and to see what, you know, could happen there. And we come into the I don't come in, but she comes into the office with him. And the doctor comes in, and she weighs more than Teresa and I together. And it's just like, there's a disconnect here. I thought you were a natural, I thought you walked the walk that you were talking about. Now, I don't know all her story, so I'm not judging her, but I'm saying there's a disconnect. Something is not complete in her world in which she handled. She may know everything there is about herbs and how great they are, but you're comfort eating somewhere along the line here. You're doing something to deal with your inner being that is not really effective. And it's hurting you. And I get it. I get it. Spent years anesthetizing myself. I understand the dynamic. But maybe God's going to use that door to where everybody gets some help. Maybe not just us with the body. Maybe her with her soul. Who knows? So there's a number of ways to look at anybody in their situation, and you can make a lot of judgments on that, or you can understand that they are processing things maybe not the best way. But see, for me to be able to impact that, I have to have similarities. And that's where our crosses come in. And we may not want to, and usually we don't want to bear the cross we get. And you know what? As you journey in this, you're going to have other crosses. So you want to be able to follow Jesus? Follow him with the cross you got right now. In fact, it's one of the principles Jesus even practiced. He says that, it says this in John 4:34, and John's quoting Jesus, and Jesus said, "My food," ooh, that's a clue right there. Let's stop right there. "My food," well, you consume food on a daily basis. You consume food today because you're burning calories today, and you're going to need to consume more later. Most of us in here, we eat, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and some of us also eat 3 hours more after that while we're watching TV or whatever we're doing. Let's be honest here. I have a potato chip thing, and my only hope is don't have them in the house. That's what Therese taught me about food a long time ago. She doesn't bring stuff in. My family, we always had dessert. And it showed. We always had dessert. We had candies and ice creams and, you know. And there's the scoops you get, you know, because my mom would dish it out because there was, you know, a bunch of us. And so she didn't leave us to dish it out. It would be a war, really. But being the oldest, I'd win many of the wars. But there was, you know, there was this candy there, and there were these things there. And when I married Therese, her family never even had dessert. They looked at dessert as anathema, and it was like, wow, that's trippy. And so we learned that if you don't have it there, if it's not accessible, it's not accessible. And so there's oranges. And when I first had to deal with that learning curve, oh, have an orange, it's got sugar in it. It's like, am I the leader of this home, or have a banana? Have a banana. I had just a couple slices on cereal today. I'm good. Good to go. But learned, you know. And guess what our kids are learning today? Bananas. Yeah, we went away for the weekend to do this, you know, this wedding thing. Well, actually, one night. And come back. One guy's got an ear infection from swimming in the pool. His ear's just killing him. And the other guy, the littlest guy, fell off the scooter and his arm's all, I can't move my arm. And it's like, oh my gosh, I hate my life. So Teresa isn't here today because she's doing a doctor run. And this is life. This is the learning curves we go through. Jesus said, my food, what sustains me daily is that. Well, what is that food? My food is to do the will of him. Oh, the will of him, the will of his Father. There's a goal in mind. The way I get there is I eat this daily. And then he says this, my goal is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Oh, that's the perseverance part. Because, you know, before I really understood the concept of incremental growth and the process of the journey, I would wonder in my mind, how did Jesus, who knew he was only going to live to 33, who knew he was going to go to the cross, because all of us, we don't know what our future holds and how that's going to roll out, but he did. How did he deal with that? He's never going to get married. He's not going to have children. He's going to die in the early prime of his life. How did he wrap his head around that? Well, I come to find out as I look through the scripture at all the heroes of God, and Jesus being, you know, the one, is that he lived incrementally day by day. He told his disciples, today has enough problems of its own. Just do what you need to do today. For tomorrow, no one knows about, no one's promised, but it's got its own issues. So I'm telling you, my friends, whatever your goals are, and you need to have goals, your foremost goal needs to be seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first what he is about, and all the other stuff will be added to you, added to your life, given to you, and you'll be able to carry it. It's a principle of God. When we mess up that principle and put seeking the kingdom, and that's the kingdom in my own life, the first thing I have to do is have God's principles in my life. That has to be first. So if I'm wondering what I'm supposed to do in life, first thing I need to look at is what God's doing in me. I want to influence others. I better make sure God's influencing me. And that'll change and empower the way I deal with others. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you've already done. I can look out here and know that Kendall finished school, and I can see lots of people that have moved in their lives and have finished things in their life. We're going to probably do a series called Game Over, and that has to do with sanctification, which is the process of change. And game over simply means this, my old life, game over. As long as I keep that game alive and I keep playing that game, I can never really play a new game because I'm still playing this game. So we have to make it a concept in our mind, and that's why I tell people all the time, show me who you hang out with and I'll tell you what your game's about. I'll tell you what you're doing. You hang around with all kinds of unhealthy people, don't tell me you're healthy, because you're not. Ministry to unhealthy people is one thing. Show me who you hang with is another thing. So, in fact, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in Luke 11:3, tells them this. Give us, he says, this is what you need to pray. Give us each day the food we need. Give us each day what we need. Give me enough food today so that I can carry on what I need to carry on today. In fact, Hebrews, so one of the secrets of being successful, and I'll read Hebrews here in a second, is this. Simply do some work every single day towards your goal. You want a good relationship? Do something every day that is toward the good relationship. You want to treat yourself right? Do something every day that is toward that. You know, since the pandemic, I haven't gone to the gym, But since the pandemic ended, I don't even know when it ended. It ended for me quite a while ago. But quite a while ago, I said I was going to go to the gym. I drive by it. What going to the gym has meant in reality to me right now is going by the gym. The car never quite gets there because I never quite make time for it in my day like I used to. You know, and I've got my good excuses. They're beautiful. I'm tired today. My best one, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll start because it's Monday, and you always want to start stuff on a Monday. So, tomorrow, but see, I don't have tomorrow. All I have is today. And I know I'm not working out today. Just keeping it real. Tomorrow I'll have to deal with it. My goal is to do something tomorrow. So I already got the row machine out. I've got some weights out. So I'll start, you know, I'll start doing it a little bit. And this is what I've also learned, just a little bit. Because before, when I was younger, you know what working out looked out like to me? 40 minutes on a row machine just to get going. For the next 5 days, I couldn't move. Plus, my back's killing me. Now I learned, you know, I'll go 8 minutes. If I can go 8 minutes, we'll start there. Start there. Start with what I can do. Do something. In fact, Hebrews 6:11 tells us this, and I'm just using that as an example. Whatever goal I have, do something toward it. We want each of you to show, I guess it isn't working. We had a blowout earlier with some, it's better now though. Except we want to go to Hebrews 6:11. Okay, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. This was the admonition from the writer of Hebrews. We want each of you to show the same diligence. One of the challenges Teresa and I have is the kind of event we had yesterday, and that is gearing up to go and be a blessing while we carry our cross and to carry it as best we can. And that's the same thing in your life. I don't have to feel great about everything I do. I just need to do what I'm supposed to do. I need to be a man of my word, and I need to walk that out. And so sometimes it takes doing what I don't want to do, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's ministering, whether it's whatever it is. And so you have that same obligation. Those of you in here that want to be clean, all you have to do is today. And then you got to get help. Because see, once we put something aside that has helped us navigate life, whether it be food, sex, drugs, work, whatever we put aside and we want to do something different, I tell people all the time, well, we don't spend enough time together. I go, well, then something needs to change in the relationship. If that is yours and your honey's problem, then something, if you're expressing that this is an issue, what are you going to do to change that? Expressing it is one thing. Doing something about it's another. What are you going to do about that? I don't have time for this very important thing. Well, then how important is it? You have to make time for the important things, or else you never get them done. What is the goal? So Hebrews tells us this: we want each of you to know this same diligence to the very end. Why? So that what you hope for, that goal, may be fully realized. Why does he say fully realized? Why didn't he just say realized? Because to be fully realized means I've journeyed enough towards it that I understand multiple angles. The growth that I've gained from that is really what God is trying to do. He's trying to make us, as James would say, whole and complete and not lacking anything. The journey of perseverance is where we learn that. Now, sometimes we have to be, sometimes things end in our lives. Say you've got a divorce and you're done with a divorce. You have to now process that so that you can not carry deep wounds into the next relationship. And so you are getting rid of the bitterness, the pain, the hurt. You know, one of my sisters is single. Been divorced twice, and she's told us numerous times how difficult it was to be a single parent, how difficult it was to raise her kids, and how her wounds, troubled. And when she would get together in gatherings, like last night or the other day, and she would see all the other husbands and wives, because everybody else is married. Out of the 8 kids, she's the only one that isn't. And she sees that. She's got to deal with that cross that she bears. And that's tough for her. So I understand, and this is the other thing, as we're healed in life, we understand the wounds of others. I may not carry that wound, and I don't, but she does. And so she's in a unique position to help other people in that world as she navigates it godly-wise. And she'll learn lots of things to be able to give them. Every one of us carries crosses. And some, like I said before, if you can't carry well what you have now, you won't be able to do it later. And this is what he says. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. God has promised to make us whole. He says, I don't want you to get lazy in that journey. It's difficult, but I don't want you to get lazy. I spoke earlier to someone that's never been able to have children. And I know people in here, I don't know, but I know some of you had abortions. And that's a cross to bear. God will forgive, and he has forgiven you. And if you haven't dealt with that, you might want to deal with that, because that's something that might need to be resolved in your world. How does all that work? Why some can't and some give up and all the dynamic? Well, there's roots to all that. There are reasons for everything. It's easy to judge. But what do we do in the mix of that? And how does that person that wants to have children deal with all the kids she sees and all that world? And I can just go on and on and on. Scripture tells us in this world you will have trouble. You will have to navigate things. And all the people in Scripture. In fact, this is what God told Moses as they were getting ready to enter into the land of milk and honey. This is after staying in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. God took them out of bondage. Used Moses to take them out of bondage. Getting out of bondage is one thing. Learning how to live is a whole nother arena. And after a long chunk of time, the Lord told Moses, that first generation who were the fruit of 400 years of generations are so damaged, are so unwilling to learn a new way to live, are unwilling to follow me because they put everything through the filter of their mind and heart and they just don't get it, they can't go in to the land of milk and honey. They can't go into what I want them for them because they're not able to handle now. How can I add more? They want it, but they have no capacity or capability. So he tells Moses this. He says, listen, Moses, this is how it's going to work when the next generation, because Moses ain't going in either. He says, the next generation goes in. He says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. So the encounter means you encounter them. You come up to them. So that means they'll have to come up to these issues, these enemies, these problems, and then God moves. Wouldn't it be awesome if we all only had to stand back from every problem and go, get them, God. I'll move when you blow the hole open. When he separated the Red Sea from Moses, he said, dip your foot in and it'll separate. There's always the if then. So he says, listen, when you guys come up to the enemies, these occupied territories, they already have people in them. They're already inhabited. And you're going to take that territory. Do this. He says, I'll throw them into confusion in every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run, which means you'll have to face them before they run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. So what does that mean? They're in your way. There's obstacles to the goal of getting to the land of milk and honey. You want to move forward into the land you want to possess. There's going to be obstacles. Your job is to persevere and deal with the Hivites, the Canaanites, the otherites. You got to deal with those things. The Long Beachites. But I will not drive them out in a single year. Why? You wouldn't be able to handle it. You're not capable. I've taken you 40 years incrementally, and I'm going to continue to take you incrementally year after year after year. There's a reason God has us chronological ages, because we're supposed to learn stuff as we go. I tell the young bucks that God is raising up, I say, you can't be a 10-year preacher in 1 year. Just can't do it. You can't be a chef because you flipped the burger. There's a growth curve to everything. That's why when I was younger, I didn't want to listen to people telling me how to parent a one-year-old that had one-year-olds themselves. I want to listen to someone that's been through the battle. Tell me how it was to raise teenagers. Tell me that. Have that war experience in you. Then I want to hear your input on teaching a one-year-old. There's a value to experience if we grow. How many know 50-year-olds that are absolutely relationally immature? How many is one? I should ask the person you're in, any person you're in relationship with. How does this person handle challenges? Screaming and yelling. Oh, you mean like a 5-year-old? I don't know one in here, but you might know somebody. So he says, listen, I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate. You wouldn't be capable of handling it. Not that you're not a good person. Your capability isn't that. You have to handle what you're supposed to handle now. And the wild animals too numerous for you. The challenges. A wild animal is a challenge. The wild animals who move around and come in different ways, they're too numerous for you. You're not capable to handle too many things. Some of us in here, when you're in that place of everything, you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. You're always overwhelmed. You're dealing with too much. You're not capable of handling that. Something needs to be scaled back till I get this area under some kind of control so that I can handle more. How many know that putting more on the plate of your life, it doesn't necessarily increase your life? Handling what you have well on the plate allows you to add more that you can handle. You can handle well. And sometimes I'll tell people, there's only so much room. You know, your soul, your emotional world is only has so much space. It's really a space thing. It's housed in here. So as big as you are, inside your soul area, which according to everything we know scripture-wise is in your heart area, is only so big. You can't keep jamming things in there. That's why when we push stuff down and don't process it, it fills up. And if we don't deal with that, guess what? All that emotional energy keeping that thing down, pushing it to the side, causes me to be on edge all the time. You ever met anybody on edge all the time? Even professing Christ? Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm constantly on edge. That means you haven't dealt, you're so full of resentment and anger and pain and hurt and stuff that you got to take it out and process it. It's the importance of having people in our lives. If you've ever had the belief system that I should be able to handle everything myself and handle it well, you have been lied to and you're buying the lie. We have to express to get it out and to process it. It's no different than your body. If this arm is broken in three places, me not wanting, because one of the reasons we don't want to deal with emotional pain, I don't want to look at it. I'm putting it over here because it's too painful. It's too painful. Well, then it's still wounded. That'd be like if you had your body, this arm is broken in three places, but I don't want the doctor to see it because it's too painful. So I'm going to carry this pain. And I don't, you know, hi. And see, it works. And by the way, I don't even really need it. I got this arm. I can do everything. I can do everything with this. And we laugh because we know that's ridiculous. Yeah, it's painful to let the doctor set it and put a cast on it. And there's not, but that pain is healing pain. It's no different in our emotional world. It's no different. When we bring it out, it can be dealt with and start the healing process so that I'm not bleeding on everyone and myself. Bleeding people bleed. And it gets on. So he says, listen, I will not do it because the other stuff is too numerous. You can't handle it. And this is what in verse 30 is the key. He says, little by little, I will drive them out. I will drive the things out. I will deal with it. Thank God in your life and in my life, he doesn't take the whole bag of Joe and dump it out. That's a pile right there. He takes out this and he says, deal with this. Deal with this thing. And as you deal with this and you successfully can carry it now to where it's not hindering you in every way, it's still, you're still carrying it. But it's not weighing you down. He says, now we'll deal with another cross and another cross that you need to carry. And some crosses you might not even need to carry anymore. They can be removed. And that's how it works. And the only way to get there is perseverance. Learning that there's obstacles. I want to be used by God in my generation. Okay, then you need to be willing to go where I send you and to deal with what I put in your life or allow in your life. And I will bring people around, and as I comfort you, you will be able to do that. So this is basically what I'm sharing with you is a lot what I shared the other night along with the story. So I condensed that, all that I've shared with you tonight, today, into the first part, and then went into the story of our lives, and it's no different than the story of your life. But this is the key. Handle the things you need to handle today. You find yourself on edge and always angry and anxious. Ask God to reveal what's going on. Ask God to bring you help. I'm going to persevere in this till I get it handled. My goal is to walk in James 1:4, to persevere so that I can be whole and complete and not lacking in anything. Why? So I can be better used of God. The more I am capable of handling, the more capacity I have to help others. When I navigate my marriage stuff and I learn how to do marriage, I am more capable. I have more capacity to help others do their marriage. Whether they do it or not is up to them. And I also have the capability to say, a marriage isn't really working. And you need to really look, you two need to figure out if this is where you want to go. How committed are you? You made your commitment. You're obviously, you're married. You made a commitment. What are you willing to do to make this right so that you can both live in it and live well? There's learning you can do, and I can give you stuff to do that by experience and by the things we have done and so forth and so on. Everybody else, how do you navigate being single? I don't know. Haven't done that since I was 25 years old. I don't know. You know, when I talk to guys and they go, man, I don't know if I can be celibate. I've been single for this year, or even the women. I don't know how that's going to work. I go, I don't know. I know it's scripture, so I can throw Bible verses at you. How do you do that when you have to do it? I don't know. I haven't had to do that for 40 years. But I know somebody. I know somebody who's walking the walk. And I may not be walking it perfectly, but I know somebody who can help you navigate some of that. I'm lonely. Oh, I know people that have been lonely. But see, if I'm lonely and you're lonely and I don't know how to navigate my own loneliness, I'm not much help to you. I can tell you to go to Jesus. Well, they'll look at me, well, why don't you go to Jesus then and get your loneliness handled? Then come back and tell me what you learned so you can help me. Right? All right. So we're about out of time here, but we'll carry on next time. Remember this, success is incremental. And here's what I want you to leave with today. Pat yourself on the back for your successes. Pat yourself on the back. Celebrate your wins. If you did good yesterday, celebrate it. If you do well, if you get a day under your belt and you're making us work on everything a little bit at a time and celebrate the wins. Because I don't know what it is about people, but we're quick to beat ourselves up for every failure and for everything we do well. It's like, well, it wasn't that big a deal. I could have done better. Take a win when you got one. You're trying to get your kid home to bed at 7:30 and you get your kid to bed at 7:30. That's a win. It might not have been a perfect 7:30, but it's 7:30. And now we got some free time. You know? You want to turn off the TV at 10 so you can spend a little... Turn it off. Yeah, I did. You know, get a victory there. Get a victory. Amen? Amen? All right, why don't we stand up? Let's do this. I know as I've been speaking, something has popped in your head about your own world. So ask the Lord to give you the faith and the perseverance. Even now, just whispered into your from your you know mouth, but from your heart, to give you the perseverance to do what you need to do today in that particular area. Be willing. Be willing. Just like Jason, when he got on his knees and asked the Lord, what you know, he chased the, thankfully, he didn't beat the CPS guy up. But secondly, God said two things. Get sober and give your child up for guardianship. That's what he needed to do the next day. That's all he had to do. He asked God for help. God gave him something to do. And he did it. And that started the journey of getting his son back, becoming who he is today, and going to where he's going this week. It always starts with something to do today. And I take that territory. So whatever it is God is speaking to you today, let's just pray about it. Lord Jesus, I pray. Well, I'll pray and you guys pray after me. Lord Jesus, You know. And I know. So I ask you to speak to me and what to do today in this thing today. And I commit to do it. Even if I don't understand it, even if I don't want to, I choose to do it. But I need your help. So provide it. And however you provide it, I'm open to that. And I'll apply it today. And I'll pray this same prayer tomorrow. And give me the fortitude to do this daily. And I thank you for that. Because I want to be whole and complete and not lacking in anything. I want to be able to handle all of life so that I may be a great blessing to the generation you put me in, that I am, and that I may serve your purpose for me in this generation, which is to glorify you, to advertise you in my life, and to be a blessing to others as I am a blessing to myself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day.